Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith. Now here's Senior Pastor Reggie Green.
Praise God. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Let's do that, church, can we? Father, we love you and we thank you for your grace today. We're grateful that we can be here, Lord. Thank you that we can gather to worship you, to seek your face, and hear your word. God, we ask you to bless this time in the name of Jesus. Everybody says amen. Hallelujah. We want to continue today looking at grace. Sunday I was preaching about the grace of God. I know that Reggie has been, in his last few messages he's been speaking, it was about grace. And I just want to take my angle on it, you know, and just because grace is a very wonderful thing, a very powerful thing that God has bestowed upon us. You know, and the word grace simply means favor, you know. It's like it's a blessing. It's God's involvement in our lives. And that is something that we have to really understand and really come to grips with if we're going to live life successfully. You know, because one of the things that, in fact, I was reading, I mentioned about the woman who killed her two kids. She actually drowned them in a bathtub in a hotel. And you know, she snapped. She went out crazy. I use that example. I was reading another, it doesn't take much to open up the newspaper or to look on Google News or Yahoo, and you can see the different people that are crumbling and falling. You know, it's like that's all you see is people not making it. That's the way I look at it. When you see people commit, you know, a husband will kill his wife and kids and then kill himself, turn the gun on himself, or you see divorces, you know, lots and lots of divorces or separations and marriages falling apart, or people, you know, like I said, and everyone is very familiar with someone going into a mall or going into a school and shooting it up and, you know, turning the gun on themselves or whatever they do, you know, something crazy. And what I see is people failing, falling, crumbling, not making it. They're somehow they're snapping. Something has happened. There's too many bricks on the wagon, you know what I mean? Or whatever the issue is, but they, you know, people fold. And even God's people fold sometimes. You know, lots of times where people are living for Christ and love God, they've been born again, God has touched their life, and yet because of the trials and the things that they're going through and they're no longer seeing things as they used to, and they begin to lose sight of God and the grace of God in their life, and they begin to crumble, they begin to crack, and they fail and fall away, and they give up on they because the very life that God gave them, they turn away from. And so this is, you know, the whole issue of grace is something that we got to come to grips with. It's something that God gives us. It's something that's very real, especially when things are not going good in our lives. And this is what I wanted to talk about. You know, the devil has a way of, when things aren't going good, whether it's in a church, in a ministry, or in someone's life, the devil shows up. He has the ability, you know, he's pointing fingers. He's got words to speak. And I was talking Sunday about, he tells us to abandon all hope. You know, why are you believing? Why are you trusting? Why are you going on? You're not going to survive. You're not going to win. You're not going to make it. No one else has made it. Look around you, your mom, your dad. It didn't work there. Look at your cousins. Look at your friends, and it didn't work there. And so the devil is very vocal. You know, not only is stuff really happening, and then you get these feelings, these emotions, and stuff coming against you. You got the devil speaking to you, and he's all on your back, and he says, abandon all hope, or resistance is futile. You know, there's no reason to go on. It's not going to change anything. And so this is where you and I have to use this weapon, man. We got to come to grips about this truth that is awesomely real and so powerful, and that is the grace of God in our lives. The grace of God, and grace is just simply God stepping in, getting alongside of us, doing the things that we can't do ourselves. You know, when we can't make it, God can make it. Have you seen that? There was a poster that was really popular, you know, Footprints. Old from the 80s, right? And the poem, you know, I can't even get into the poem, it's so old, but anyway, the whole deal had to be with, you know, two sets of footprints. One set disappears, the guy gets to heaven, and he says, Lord, why did you leave me? You know, because I see only one set of footprints there, and then it goes, he says, I didn't leave you, that was me carrying you. You know, when you couldn't make it, when you couldn't survive, and it might be old, maybe even seem kind of corny, but guess what? It is so true that when we can't make it, God is even willing to carry us, and that is grace. That's grace. He enables us to survive. He enables us to make it. Yes, we can go on. Yes, we can do it. Yes, we can be victorious even when everything is against us. And we have to come to grips with the fact that God is a God of grace. And we're not in this life alone. You don't face your problems alone. He's very involved in our lives right now. He's watching over us, and he's intricately involved with every facet of our lives. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, verse 22. I'm going to use the same text just to get us started. We got a bunch of other scriptures to look at. But one of the things I was challenging everyone Sunday, the importance of knowing the Word of God yourself, the importance of reading it and seeing it. And you knowing the Bible, you knowing the book, man, and for me, it's worth me stopping and taking our time so that you can open it up and read it for yourself. It's something that it's like promises that God has made to you, but if you don't know the promises, you won't be able to hold God to it. You know what I mean? You don't even know what to believe for. You know, I said, how can you even believe God to meet your needs if you don't, you know, what is the basis of you believing God? Well, if you read the word, you can see the promises that he's made, and you can say, God, you said this, and so I believe it. You said you would help me. You said you would provide for me. You said that you would forgive me, and so God, my faith is based in your word. But if you don't know the word of God, then you're in trouble. And so the challenge, what I'm challenging you on is to really begin when you come to church. I mean, if we're coming to church, you got this far, you're here. Open that book up, man, and take the time to see what God's word has to say to you. In fact, some passages that I read, I don't know if you noticed, it's funny. I've read it and I'm preaching it. But there are different times when I read the Word of God and it slays me. Like I said, especially if I'm getting ready to preach, man, and I can read something and it comes alive. And like I said, I got a hard heart, man, but God has a way of softening me. He'll soften you and make your heart tender. God has a way of working with us when we read His Word. Are you with me on that? Can you say amen? Luke chapter 12, verse 22, and talking about God's, Jesus stepped out of heaven to make it very plain and very clear as to how much God loves us and how much God cares about us and how involved he is in our lives. And he says this, this is Jesus speaking. He says, he continued this subject with his disciples. He said, don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or if the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your inner life than the food you put on or the food that you put in your stomach, or move to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the ravens, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, carefree in the care of God, and you count far much more. Has anyone by fussing before the mirror even gotten taller by so much as an inch? If fussing can't do that, why fuss at all? Walk into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They don't fuss with their appearance, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the wildflowers, most of them never even sing, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, not to be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. And the text is very simple, the instruction very powerful, but very simple, and that is that God is involved. Every aspect of our life, there's not one bird that dies without God knowing it. He says, the grass in the field, the flowers in the field, he says, hey, God made them. He says, sometimes people don't even see these things. And yet God took time to create them and to make them beautiful. And he says, how much more? You're more important than grass. You're more important than flowers. You're more important than birds. If he does this for nature, if he does this in life, won't he take care of you? Are you with me? The Bible tells us that God even knows the numbers of hair on our head. That's how well he knows us. That's how well he knows you. He understands you coming and going. He knows your ups, your downs, your emotions, your feelings. He knows all the trials, the things that make you weak, the things that you suffer with, the things that hurt you, the things that make you laugh, the things that you can handle, the things that you can't handle. God understands it all. And you and I have to realize that and call it for what it is. Man, he knows us. He knows you. And God does not, and because he knows us, he does not leave us to ourselves. He doesn't leave it just, you know, except our own strength and our own abilities. No, God provides grace. He knows how, what gets me sometimes is that God, he knows, it's like, you can't beat him. You can't outdistance him. You can't get away from him. He knows your thoughts. He'll put thoughts in you. He controls it all. I use the scripture about, the scripture talks about in him we live and we move and we have our being. You know, that he's so wrapped up in us and through us that we live and breathe and move, and everything about us is in him. And so for that reason, I said, we can make it. To me, it speaks hope. To me, it speaks a confidence. Yeah, we can make it. We can survive. We can work through marriage problems. We can work through financial problems. You don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to pull the fuse, throw the grenade. You don't have to do anything stupid. You can just trust God. You can believe because he is absolutely 100% involved in your life tonight. Can you say amen? And I really believe that is a cure for people's depression. I talked about when he says, I was finishing it off about when we are unfaithful, you know, because one of the big problems that people have is that, you know, because we don't have our act together. It's very easy to think that God's not going to help us or that God's not involved or, you know, like I said, but he's always involved. He can't get away from it. It has nothing to do with this. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 13, I'm just going to read one verse. You can write it down or look at it when you get a chance. But it says, heavens raise the roof, earth wake the dead, mountains send up cheers. God has comforted his people. He has tenderly nursed his beaten up, beaten down people. But Zion said, I don't get it. God has left me. The Lord has forgotten I even exist. And then God says, can a mother forget the infant at her breast, walk away from the baby she bore? But even if the mother forgets, I'd never forget you, never. It's a beautiful verse where God says, I'll never leave you. I got your back. You know, a nursing mother may forget her child, but God says, I will never forget you. Can you say amen? That produces confidence in me. That's 100% confidence because we don't always have our act together. We're not always functioning at 100%. We're not always as sweet as a brand new born angel in heaven. Sometimes we got some other issues. Can you say amen? And we wonder if God can help us or God can love us or does God still care about us? And the answer to that question is God always loves us. He always loves you and he's always on your side. Can you say amen? Okay. The big thing to understand, and I like to get this out of the way because we're supposed to grow, we're supposed to mature, we're supposed to go on in the things of God, but if you're still stuck and about whether God loves you, and you're still wrestling about whether God has accepted you or whether you're saved or not, how can you ever go on in the things of God if you hadn't settled that issue? Salvation, everything about us, everything about what God is doing in our life has to do with faith and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and I hope that these are scriptures, these are ones that you can write down, you can hold on to, you can live your life by, but it's truth that will help you. It will set you free. We have to settle the issue of whether we're going to heaven or not, you know, or whether God loves me. The only reason that God does love us is because of his son, Jesus. For in Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, or we miss the mark. We don't never ever meet the standard. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. You can't be good enough to make heaven your home. None of us deserve anything. In Romans 3, verse 10 to 12, It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have all together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good, no, not one. And that's the Bible making it very plain and very simple about our condition. It says that we're all messed up, tore up from the floor up. We got different issues, different problems, but that is not... If we're messed up, God loving us and saving us, He brings us. He's the one that works grace in our lives. He's the one that draws us to salvation. He's the one that has made promises. Being messed up doesn't change anything about our relationship with God because Jesus is the one who lived the life for us. Everybody got that one? Okay, the reason that God answers our prayers, the reason that God even has any type of relationship with us at all is because of what Jesus did for us. He lived the life. He paid the price through His death. The Bible condemns us in so many different ways. But Jesus, we might have been condemned by our own sins and our trespasses, but when Jesus came, He took the punishment. Everything that was due you and I for our inequities and our unrighteousness, everything about us that was wrong, it all went to Jesus. He took the punishment, the innocent for the guilty, the pure for the impure. It was God Himself on that cross. It is God Himself who's shedding the blood for, and He's doing it for the purpose of having relationship with sinners, which you and I are. He says, I love you. You can't fix the problem. I'm going to have to fix it for you. You are not good enough. You can't go. You can't be religious enough. There's nothing you can do to fix the problem. It's a sin problem. He says, I'm going to have to fix this myself. And so after He fixes it with Jesus going to the cross, He requires us to simply believe that Jesus paid the price. And because of that, if we believe, we can be saved. If we believe, we are saved. If we believe that, we can have relationship with God the Father. That's a beautiful thing. Which brings me to this point, and the thing I'm trying to bring home, and why we should have hope, is because God always hears your prayers. God never, because of what Jesus did, He's never mad at us. The judgment is gone. The condemnation is gone, and the Bible tells us very clearly that we should come boldly before His throne of grace. You know, like I said, the throne, man. It's interesting that God talks about His throne as a throne of grace, mercy, compassion, that you and I can find help and direction. We can find guidance. We can find wisdom when we come to Him, when we come before Him. He's never, ever kicking us to the curb. You know, like I said, I was thinking, people can be so messed up. You ever ask, say, how can God love these people? How can God love this person? But the way I look at it is that after you get to know people and you work with people and you see people and the mistakes that people make, my own mistakes, God, if His heart goes out to us. It's like His heart goes out. He says, look, you're lost and you're not going to be found. You can't figure it out. You can't get it together. And so God shows grace. He works with us. He'll speak to you. He'll convict you of your sin. He'll open your eyes. He allows us to encounter problems in life just to get our attention. Are you with me? He'll let us go through things. Heartache and heartbreak, not to punish, not because He's mad, but simply to get us to look up at Him. None of us came to God because we had our act together. When we're doing good, we're not all that fast to go to God. But it's in the times of desperation, in the times of our failure. It's in the times of being locked up. It's in the times of being kicked out. It's in the times of all types of misunderstanding and problems. And we try to work it out, and finally we figure we can't work it out. And so we cry out to God, and He steps right in. He steps right in. And so this should give us great confidence and boldness in the life that we're living. He got us. He has us in the palm of his hand. And since he has us, this enables us to live a different life, to focus on the things that are most important, to be confident, to be bold. I was Beto's and Christy's little boy. Christy don't like me doing it. She gets a little nervous. I flipped him upside down and hold him by his feet. And I can't wait till my grandson gets the age where I can flip him over. And Cindy probably still kill me. But what was really interesting that after I did it, he kind of likes it. That's the only reason I did it, you know, and his dad knows that. So he likes it. And I'm holding him. And then he goes, just flips right back out. Not like I was trying to flip him. No, he's going to do it himself. He actually believes that I'm going to hold him. I did it. I'm the one that started that thing. I'm messing with him. I hold him upside down. I didn't drop him. He's having fun. And so I was holding him once, and and guess whose responsibility it was to hold him and to catch him? Because I made him believe it. And our Father, our God, our Savior, gives us promises and challenges us to believe. He's expecting us to believe. He says, get out of the boat and walk on the water. He says it. It's his responsibility to catch us, to hold us. You know, he says, I want you to trust me. I want you to lean on me. In fact, the word believe means to cleave or cling or hold on to very tightly. He says, I want you to do that in every situation, because you know that way you're not disappointed. He says, if you do this, I got you. If you're clinging to me and holding to me and believing on me, God, it's like he has to keep his word. He started this thing in your life, didn't he? Didn't he start this? Or were you so spiritual? You said, you know what, I'm so good and spiritual. I'm going to go to church and bless, keeping it real ministries with my wonderful presence. No. No, he called you, wooed you, seduced you, backed you up into a corner and spoke the right words and drew you to himself. And now that he has you, he's not going to let you go. Our problem is we lose sight of the fact how much God loves us and how much he's involved in our life and the grace that he wants us to give. And so we're still scrapping, fighting, and pushing and trying to get, like I said, and God says, hey, I got you. I got this. You don't have to do this anymore. You don't have to fight for yourself anymore. I'll fight the battles for you. Can you say amen? You don't have to run. You don't have to hide. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be insecure. You don't, when your world is crushing in on you, you don't have to flip out. He says, I got you. I'm the one that called you. I'm the one that challenged you. I'm the one that, you know, taught you how to, you know. And he won't let you down. He won't let you down. So we have to settle that issue so that we can go on. We got to be able to settle that. We can settle that one tonight, man. Man, God loves me. Can you say that? God loves me. And he won't let me down. He loves us. So, we know that we don't deserve heaven. We don't earn heaven. We can't do anything to make God love us more than he already does. How many know that? Like I said, he loves us 100%. You can't earn. You know, you don't earn it. I love that song. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. Still, he gave his life away. Like I said, we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We can't buy the grace of God. It is given to us freely out of his love. And that grace enables us to live a supernatural life. We're able to do things that we never could do on our own. The grace of God. And you and I need to depend. We need to trust and believe that God is with us. That he is with us. He's with us in the evangelizing of the San Fernando Valley, the building of this church. He is with us as we try. You know, when you're in a marriage relationship, you got two people who are diametrically opposed to each other, different personalities, different viewpoints, different attitudes, and they make this thing work, and God designed it so that he could be involved in it. He wants to be in the center of every marriage relationship. He makes the impossible possible. Can you say amen? He wants to. And so his grace works when it comes to our money, when it comes to our education, when it comes to prosperity, when it comes to just moving forward in life. There are things in life that we cannot do ourselves. And we need the grace of God to help us. He enables us to live lives that we naturally couldn't have. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 to 31, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. The Bible says very clearly that Jesus is our wisdom. He's our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption. He is everything. Imagine that, our wisdom. You ever think that I'm so stupid. You ever think, I ain't got a clue. I can't get it together. I'm not sharp as other people. I can't figure it out. Do you know what you could really simply do? Is start looking to God for wisdom. Some insight and understanding and knowledge. I said, he gives wisdom freely, the Bible says. He's not stingy concerning knowledge and understanding. He has it. You may not have went to school. Maybe you came from, all your reference points are all messed up. You know, maybe the home life was messed up, or you came up on the streets or whatever, some religious community that was totally whacked. God himself will give you wisdom. He will help you figure it out. He'll do that as you come to him in prayer. And as you begin to put your heart and your mind on him, things begin to get really clear. In fact, if you obey God, life itself becomes really clear, and you get a clue, and you can really understand how things work when you get in the habit of obeying him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. And then one more verse, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, that the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. More promises about you and I being born again, you and I being different, our lives changing. Everything is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Can you say amen? Now, if we can come to grips with that, you'd be surprised what could happen in your life. Grace is real. Grace, God enabling you. God putting his hand on you. You know, Samson, everybody know the story of Samson. You see Samson in the movies, he's this big buff dude. You know what I mean? He's got abs, he's got muscles, he's big and he's strong. Maybe he wasn't really like that. What if he's this little skinny guy weighing 150 pounds? And yet the Bible says the Spirit of God would come upon Samson and he would do great things. Are you with me? We got the big guy doing it. We understand the Hulk type dudes, right? We got that one. The Rock, we got that one. Yeah, he's back. We got you. But how about a little skinny guy? Maybe God got the glory. Maybe Samson was a little dude. Very possible. Because it was grace that was on him. It was the Spirit of God. It was the anointing that would come upon him and enable him to do the things that he was doing. You'd be surprised what you could do if you begin to just believe God to help you. You'd be surprised how you could prosper. You know, I don't know about you. I wasn't raised with, you know, just the way I was raised when it came to money. When it come to prosperity, when it come to paying my bills, when it come to moving forward in, or in business and things, you know. No, but you think God could enable you to become an entrepreneur? Do you think God could drop things in your heart and in your mind and ideas, and he could stir you to do things? Or how about this? My first management job I ever had, I shouldn't have been a manager. But totally by the grace of God, in the right place, at the right time, saying the right word, and I get this job. And I know it was the grace of God. I go from being a guard out at in the front of the building to end up having an office and a desk inside. Just by simply being in the right place at the right time, it's the grace of God. God enables us to do things that we can't do ourselves. The grace of God. The grace. The last thing I'm going to look at, and then I'm done. And that is something called greasy grace. And that's when we just simply, you know, God loves me, and so it doesn't matter how I live, what I say, where I go, who I go with, because God loves me. Doesn't matter whether I sin or not, because I know that God loves me. Heaven's my home. I don't have to worry about it. If I, you know, Saturday I can go do my thing, do the wild thing. Sunday I can come to church and get it right. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. And I will give you a motivation. This is a motivation text. Nobody can ever make you live right. A church can't make up enough rules. A pastor can't make it. I definitely ain't got time for it. I'm trying to live my own life versus trying to run and live your life too. Me, I'm the type of person, I said, when Jesus came into my life, I stopped smoking dope. You know what I mean? Christ come in my life. I don't want to make any more enemies. I want my enemies to forgive me. So I'm confessing what I did. I'm trying to clear things up. I stopped stealing. I didn't steal. I didn't want to lie. It's funny how it works. It's like I hadn't even been in, I was at a Christian concert when Christ come in my life. That was a Saturday. I wasn't able to go to church Sunday because I was working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I find out about, you know, so I go out. But I'm saying there was a lot of work done in my life between Saturday and Wednesday. You know, I remember going into my room and, you know, Marines, single. I got posters up on the wall that ought not be there. Nobody told me to take them down. When I walked into my room, I knew what I needed to do. Magazines. Nobody told me about that. I just took them all out and put them in the trash. You know what I mean? I started cleaning. I didn't see it before. I started cleaning it up. Because I asked Christ to come in my life. A pastor didn't tell me nothing. Another Christian didn't tell me anything. I just know John chapter 3, verse 3, it talks about being born again. You know? In the 80s, that was preached a whole lot about being born again, a born again Christian. You know, where you had an experience with God, and when God came in your life, you know, you changed. You know, I can tell you the date and the time, June 27th, 1981. I remember that date. I remember the time I was born again. I wasn't raised in church. Christ come in my life, and I begin to change. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. The same Christ that came in my life, I'm assuming and I believe, came in yours. When you ask Christ to come in your life, when you ask God to forgive you of your sin, when you gave your life to Jesus, there's no doubt about it. We got the same God. God came in. And so I trust the fact that you will live. I don't think I have to make rules up and, you know what I mean, and try to get up in your business and chase after you and make rules for you. And no, I don't have to do that because I know if you love God, you're going to live a certain way for God. Does that make sense? Isn't that the way it should be? Can you handle that? I believe that's, you know, way before there was churches. You know, the first church was only built, it was built 1,000 years after the death of Christ. 1,000 years before they built the first church. So how was people living for God? Come on now. The grace of God in their life. So what I'm saying is, I believe, like I said, so you don't, you know, getting back to this greasy grace thing, you know, I think if you live God, you love God, and you've asked Christ to come in your life, you don't want to sin anymore. Is that hard? That Christ come into our life, there's things that we won't do, don't want to do. And so we start living a different life, not because man said so, but simply because we experienced an encounter with the true and the living God. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life." That's the grace of God that's flowing inside of you that enables you to do what is right, to love, to forgive, to serve, to sacrifice, to be faithful. It is the grace of God in us, that makes us the light of the world and the salt of the earth. It is the grace of God that enables us to have joy when everything around us says you should be full of sorrow. It's the grace of God that gives us hope that no matter how bad things are, that like Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good of them that love God. All right, are you with me? It's the grace. The grace brought to us by the Spirit and the power of God in us. And so for that reason, we can believe today. We can have hope for our families. We can have hope for our future. No matter how much the world stinks, how dark it is, how messed up things are, you and I can still get up, man, and have a great and wonderful day, knowing that God is with us and he's working in us and he's working through us, and that our marriage, like I said, hey, especially marriages, hey, God's got you. He's got you. He's got us. And we can work it out. Can you say amen? The grace of God. In our prayer life, I'm closing this thing. You can't experience the grace. You really want to experience the grace of God. I really believe that you'll discover it in prayer. As you begin to come to God. Because he says he has a throne of grace. And as you begin to approach the throne in prayer and begin to tap in to the living water. You know what I mean? You start tapping in to the greatest power in the universe, the Holy Spirit. When you begin to tap in prayer by faith, you start seeing things change in your life. You'll see walls come down. I tell you what, sickness. Do you know that there's more people popping pills than you could ever imagine? You got your junkies on the street, and your crackheads and your meth heads, but there's a bunch of people who are hooked on legal prescriptions. You know what I mean? And it's so easy to prescribe a pill for this and a pill for that. Okay, I tell you what, if you have hope, a cure for depression, a cure for many of the problems that we have, I believe can be cured at the throne of grace. At the throne of grace. If you could come to God, asking God about your money, about your future, about your education, allowing God to be, you know, he's already involved, acknowledging that he's involved. You'd be surprised how your life would change, how your outlook on life would change, how your heart, how peace would come back, how joy would really flow from your soul if you could begin to see how much God is involved in your life. Let's do that. That's your homework this week between now and Sunday. Amen. Get a hold of God. Come to God in faith and say, God, you're all up in my business. And since you're all up in my business, Lord, open my eyes. Help me to see some things differently. Help me to roll like you're rolling. Help me to flow at what you're doing instead of resisting it. God, I've been going through anxiety and fear and doubt, and that's because I don't see what you see. Help me see what you see, Lord. Open my eyes. I want to see you. Can you say amen? Every head bowed and every eye closed in reverence to God. Hallelujah. We have to, if we're going to be believers in Christ, then let's be believers in Christ. If we're going to live for God, then let's grow up. Let's mature. Let's enter into the deeper things of God. Let's settle the does God love me thing today. That's settled. We know that he loves you. We know that. And he's not mad. You know what I mean? In fact, the Bible tells us as a father pities his son, so God pities us. You know? When you got your little baby they want to do something. You know, my little grandson got these hands, man. And he's always grasping. His brain is saying, grab it. And he's trying to get it together. He can't grab it and hold it like he wants to, you know? And so his mom or his dad or myself, we hold it for him. That's grace. You can't do it on your own. You're going to need some help. And we need to be able to, we need to tap into the grace of God and stop trying to do it all by ourselves and believe God. Lay some things at his feet. You're going to have to come to grips with the fact that you can't do it all. You're not Superwoman. You're not Superman. We're not. And we're going to need God's grace. We're going to need his help. We need him to enable us to do some things. Hallelujah. I'm living a life, intentionally or unintentionally, I'm involved in some things and doing some things. If God, and it's like I'm at this stage, if God doesn't help me, then I'm not going to be helped. You know what I mean? I'm out there. I'm trying. God, you got to help me. You know, I'm clinging to you, holding on to you. You know, I expect to see the grace of God. We can do things bigger and better than we can ever imagine if we're trusting in the grace of God. If you don't believe that God's with you, you always play it safe. You won't step out in faith. You won't take chances. Peter was walking on water to Jesus because Jesus bid him to come. Peter sank. He began to sink as he began to look around. Look at the waves, man. He almost went down. Jesus had to reach out and grab his hand and save him. Doesn't that look like a failure? That ain't failure. No, Peter got out of the boat. And for a while, he was walking on water. He got out of the boat. He took the chance. He rolled the dice, and he walked on the water. He might have lost it there a little bit, but guess what? There's no one else that can say, oh, yeah, I walked on water too. Peter's the only one. Because he is willing to trust in the grace of God, the power of God, the authority of God. And it's better to try and to fail than to never try at all. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, in this place today, if you're not right with God, and I always talk about that, man, because being right with God is so important. Knowing Jesus as your Savior is so important. Having Jesus in your life is so important. Christianity is weird without Jesus. It's weird. Trying to read the Word of God without the Spirit of God is weird. Trying to be good, trying to be spiritual without having a relationship with Christ, really weird. Holiness without the Spirit of God is weird. No, man, make it right. If you're going to do this thing and you're going to go for God, then live for God. Today in this place, if you're not right with the Lord, you're not, you know, if I ask you, I said, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? You say no, then let's deal with that. Let's settle that. Make a decision. I want to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to ask for hands. I just want you to pray with me, pray with all of us. If you're not right with God, this is a good night to give your life to Jesus. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. If you mean it, God's going to take you up on it. Say it with all your heart, your mind. Say it. Say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Please forgive me for all my sins, all that I've done wrong. I believe that you died for me, and I believe that you rose from the dead. And I thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood for me. Thank you, Lord, for every good thing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you had said that prayer, that's a simple prayer. But if you meant it, believe me, God took you up on it. He loves you and he cares about you. Everything else is grace. Everything else is grace. God's working in us and through us. We need to walk in that grace. Let God help us live supernatural lives, have supernatural marriages, supernatural families. We need a supernatural blessed church. It's by grace. Let the Lord God help us. Take some time and pray. If God spoke to you, you can pray in your seats. If you need prayer, I'll pray for you. Let's sing. Come on.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram at kirchurch.